The sermon text is the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. On the next Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. They were amazed at his teaching, because he was teaching them as one who has authority and not as the experts in the law. Just then there was a man with an unclean spirit in their synagogue. It cried out, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked the spirit, saying, "Be quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit threw the man into convulsions, and after crying out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Everyone was so amazed that they began to discuss this with each other. They said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He even commands the unclean spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly through all the region of Galilee. This is the Gospel of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. 4-year-old Jimmy is walking down the sidewalk holding his father's hand. Suddenly, they come up to a big, scary dog. And Jimmy's dad looks down at him and says, "Jimmy, up." He reaches down his arms toward his little son, and without any hesitation, without any second thought at all, little Jimmy obeys his father's command. He holds up his own little arms toward his dad so his father can wrap him up and scoop him up, keep him safe. 12 years later, the now 16-year-old Jimmy is on his way out the door for a night out with his friends, but before he can escape, before he reaches the exit, he hears his father say from behind him, "Remember, you're home by 11, and you check in at least once between 9 and 10. Well, Jimmy is just about to start arguing about these rules, but his father won't let him speak. His dad keeps going. He says, "I don't care if all the other kids get to stay out till midnight or later. You're my kid. And I don't care if they make fun of you for having to text your parents while you're with them. You listen to me. I'm your father." Well, Jimmy knows he's not going to win this battle, but it doesn't stop him from throwing in a few complaints about how this is so unfair, and he's practically almost an adult anyway, so he should really be able to do whatever he wants to do. What is the difference in how 4-year-old and 16-year-old Jimmy views the authority of his father? Betty is watching the evening news when the story comes on. It tells her that earlier that day, the police raided a local drug house. They have seized illegal drugs with a street value of over $10 million and arrested several drug dealers in the process. And at the end of the story, Betty says to herself, "Thank God for the police. Thank God they got that stuff off the streets in my neighborhood." Next day, on her way to work, Betty rolls through a stop sign. And then she sees the lights flashing in her rearview mirror. She lets out a cuss as she pulls over. She manages to hold her tongue while the officer is writing out the citation, but as soon as her window is rolled back up, she lets loose on a tirade about, why do they have to pick on honest people who are just trying to get to work on time? And they're never around when you need them, just when they want to take your money. What's the difference in how Betty views the authority of the police from one day to the next day? Authority is a key word in the gospel that we hear today. In the opening verse of today's gospel, St. Mark tells us that when the people in Capernaum's synagogue listened to Jesus teach, they were amazed because he was teaching them as one who had authority. And then at the end of the gospel, the crowd says, "What is this? A new teaching with authority." So here is the question for us. How are we going to view the authority of Jesus Christ? How are we going to react to this authority that we see today? And why? Well, when people see authority working for their good, when they see that the authority is helping them and protecting them, making their life better, then people tend to welcome authority, and they are even thankful for it. 4-year-old Jimmy doesn't think twice, and he's thankful for the authority of his father and to be able to wrap his arms around his dad's shoulders and stay safe. Betty is grateful. She welcomes the authority of the police because they just made her life a little bit better by making the streets in her neighborhood safer. See, when people can see that authority is for their good, they welcome it, they appreciate it, they're even thankful for it. But the minute that people start to think that authority is restricting their freedom, that authority is invading their rights or making too many rules, then people want to get rid of authority and they no longer appreciate it. Why should I have to abide by stricter rules than the rest of my friends? Why should I have to pay a giant fine for rolling through a stop sign when there wasn't even anybody else at the intersection that I could have hit? See, as soon as people see authority as restrictive, invasive, unfair, then they no longer welcome it. And you know, actually, in both of those examples, the authorities really weren't being unfair or restrictive at all. But the thing is, people just have to see it that way. They just have to perceive authority that way, and then they want to get rid of it. Well, the authority of our Savior Jesus is helpful, kind, and caring. And that is a fact. But the important thing for us is to see that authority for what it is, so that then we will welcome Jesus' authority, appreciate it, and thank God for it. So as you see Jesus using his authority this morning, see how he uses it for your good. Now, at first, it is a little bit hard to understand what St. Mark is getting at when he says that Jesus was teaching with authority. What does that mean? Was Jesus using some kind of different line of reasoning that people hadn't heard before? Or was it that Jesus was a super engaging and interesting public speaker? Or maybe Jesus had like an elevated vocabulary. Or you know how some people, when they're speaking, they assert their authority by just hollering, being the loudest person in the room, and then you have to listen to them? Maybe that's it. Maybe Jesus was shouting at the people in the synagogue. How exactly does a person teach with authority? Well, it seems that this authority of Jesus' teaching really had nothing to do with his style of speaking or his teaching technique, but it had everything to do with the content of Jesus' teaching, with what he was saying. Why? Because Mark says that Jesus was teaching them as one who had authority and not as the experts in the law. And later, the crowd says, a new teaching with authority. And that word new carries with it the idea of something that is superior, something that is better than what the people were used to teaching. So it was the content, it was what Jesus had to say to these people that was not only different, but also better than what they were used to hearing. Now, the teaching that these people were used to came from the experts in the law. Now, these so-called experts liked to burden people with endless rules that they made up, rules that gave people no hope and a whole lot of headaches. The experts in the law weighed people down with endless rules that made their lives miserable and gave them no hope for anything eternal. That's what the people were used to. And then, along comes this teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, with a message that is completely different and far superior to what they were hearing from those experts in the law. It is the message that St. Mark summarizes earlier in the first chapter of this gospel. Jesus went into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. Now, there is a message that actually matters. See, there is a message that tells you the eternal, unreachable kingdom of God has come down to your side in this world. And why has God sent his kingdom down to your side so that you will be able to live in that kingdom forever? This is a message that tells you how to go from wrong to right in the eyes of God. Repent, turn away from your sin, and see that your salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life, has come into this world in the flesh in God's own Son. It was the message of eternal life. Now, Jesus wasn't just telling people what they wanted to hear. This was not some kind of ear-scratching message, because he did say, you need to repent. There is something wrong with you. You need to turn away from your sins. But when you do, then you will see that God's solution to those sins has arrived in this world. And with him, he brings you eternal life. Trust in him, and life that lasts forever is yours. Now, compare that message to the endless, burdensome, made-up rules that the people have been hearing from their experts in the law. And it is no wonder that the people recognized in the content of Jesus' teaching something new, something superior, something that had eternal significance. Basically, Jesus was throwing open the doors to heaven and inviting people in. That was the divine authority of his message. And as Jesus was teaching that new, superior, eternal message in the synagogue that day, an evil spirit was there too, and this evil spirit cried out in fear because it understood the truth of what Jesus had said. The kingdom of God has come near. See, this evil spirit understands that God's plan to crush his boss, to destroy the devil, that plan is reaching its climax, and that's why the evil spirits and the demons, they're always squirming and squealing all through Jesus' ministry, including right here. This evil spirit knows who Jesus is, and he's afraid of what Jesus has come to do. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, it's ironic, and it's one of those things that's a little bit sad and a little bit funny at the same time, that this evil spirit recognizes who Jesus is before the people in the synagogue. The evil spirit is already saying, I know who you are. You're the Messiah, the Holy One of God. When you get to the end of the story, the people in the synagogue are still up in the air about who Jesus is. They're still deciding. But you see, by driving out this evil spirit in front of them, Jesus is showing them who he is. He is the one who comes to drive out people, to drive out evil from people, to save them from it. Now, on that day in the synagogue, Jesus drives out evil by driving out a spirit. But that, in a nutshell, is the whole reason that Jesus came into this world, to drive out evil. Not just that evil spirit, and not just its master, Satan, but also the evil of sin that Satan introduced in Eden. With Jesus' death on the cross, he removes that sin from us. He drives it away from us. Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. And with his resurrection on Easter, Jesus drives the evil of eternal death away from us too, his promise of the resurrection. Jesus drives evil away. He has the authority to do it. The evil of Satan, the evil of sin, the evil of death. You see, this is really what gives the teaching of Jesus Christ his authority. This is what backs it up and makes it real. When Jesus opens up the kingdom of heaven to all believers, he drove out the evil. And he did the work to open that kingdom up to us. Now, you just heard the word authority used more than a few times. What is our natural reaction to authority? Isn't our natural reaction to be at least a little bit leery, questioning, skeptical of the authority that is over us? You know, there are a lot of people who reject the authority of Jesus Christ for the simple reason that they don't want any authority over them. They don't want anybody dominating them, not even the Son of God. And even inside of Jesus' people, there is still a spirit that shrinks away from his authority that says, no, you don't want that. Be your own boss. You know, especially if we see authority as being invasive or restrictive or unfair, we want to buck it. It is only when we see authority being used for our good, to help us, that we welcome it and we are thankful for it. So, how do you see Jesus Christ using his authority today? Is he using it to be unfair to you? Is he using it to restrict your freedom? Well, the Son of God uses his authority to drive away all evil from you and to announce that the kingdom of heaven is yours through faith in him. The authority of our Savior Jesus is always and only for our good. When we see Jesus' authority for what it is, eternally kind and eternally helpful, we welcome it. We appreciate that authority and we thank God for it. It is authority from God for our good. Amen.